You're listening to Teach Me the Bible Podcast, where we unpack the meaning of books, passages, and themes from Scripture. Join us each week as Dr. David Klingler walks us through God's Word and teaches the Bible. Each episode has a study guide available in the show notes. This is Teach Me the Bible Podcast.
Hello, everyone. My name is Tim Webb, and I'm here with Dr. David Klingler for our Teach Me the Bible podcast. We're glad that you are with us. We are continuing, Doc, our discussion, Peter's epistle to those Jewish believers who've been scattered abroad, and we're moving into really the middle of the letter, and this is going to get really interesting, and there's some pretty amazing things in this discussion that we often don't like to focus on. We do not like to, as people, focus on submission and suffering, but in that context, it gives us an opportunity to share our faith. But let's continue in this, and what do we see as we're moving into chapter 3?
Yeah, just by way of reminder, I guess if we had one verse that kind of captures it, quick summary, these Jewish believers, they're scattered and they're suffering and they don't like it.
Right.
And so they're trying to get out of it. Nobody likes suffering.
Right.
The point that Peter is making is that Christ suffered. Mm-hmm. You suffer as well. Right. So then chapter 2, verse 21, this was the last time, for you have been called for this purpose since Christ also suffered for you, leaving you an example to follow in his steps. And he goes on to explain why. And this is headed towards chapter 3, verse 13, 14, 15. Mm-hmm. This is actually a verse that many of us know if you've been around the church for a while, or you've done any kind of memory verses. But it says, but set Christ apart as Lord in your hearts, always being ready to make a defense to everyone who asks you. That's kind of where it stopped quoting.
Mm-hmm.
Keep going, though. To give an account for the hope that is within you. The point here, and you see this in all of the letters to the Jewish believers, Israel was to be a kingdom of priests, and he's already said that back earlier in this letter, a holy nation, to take the gospel to the Gentiles, but also take the gospel as part of the believing remnant. Mm-hmm. To their unbelieving Jews. And so here you are, and you're enduring, you're suffering, right?
Yes.
And so in this section before servants, why is this servant choosing to suffer, to be obedient, to be submissive, not only to the good and gentle master, but to the crooked and evil one?
Yeah.
And why? Because Christ did that, because Christ suffered at the hands of wicked men. To die for sins once for all, because he bore our sins in his body on the cross that we might die to sin and live to righteousness, for by his wounds we are healed, for you were continually straying. And so we're going to get this word that is translated in the same way. And so there's no chapter break. I mean, there's a chapter break, but the logic, the argument just continues right into chapter 3, and it addresses wives in 1 through 6, and then it goes to husbands, and then he's going to sum it up, right? And so this section is kind of the capturing of the argument, right? If you get chapter 3, you've got it. If you don't get chapter 3, you don't have it. So are we called to suffering?
Yes.
Yeah, are believers called to suffering? Yes. Is the Jewish believer called to suffering? Yes. Has this been going on for a while? Yes. Who is the one we look to who suffered beforehand? Well, it's Christ. We've over there in Hebrews, he has run before. He's run the race before. He's the forerunner. And so we run after Christ. He's the beginner and the completer. Mm-hmm. And so we follow in his footsteps. And so, if you think that coming to Christ is going to solve all your problems, it's not. In some ways, they get worse.
Absolutely, yes.
Because you're called to a life of submission, obedience, and suffering, not only to Christ, but to the authority structure that God has put put in place. Right. And that's not always a good thing. And so suffering is, it's not always just either. In fact, that's the point, right? Mm-hmm. That what credit is there, this is back in chapter two, what credit is there if you sin and are harshly treated and you endure it? There's no reward for that. Mm-hmm. But if you do what is right in the eyes of the Lord and are harshly treated for it and endure it, this finds favor with God. Mm-hmm. The problem with that is there's no immediate reward. Mm-hmm. It is a future reward, and that's what Peter's trying to get these folks to see, is that this is a future reward. Paul does the same thing in Timothy and right. Philippians. It's present suffering, future reward. And so in picking that up, it's in turning to the wives in the same way, wives, be submissive, be under-assigned, and we talked about that last time, be under-assigned to your own husbands, so that even if any of them are disobedient to the word, they may be won over without a word. And that's the point, right? Mm-hmm. When they see your behavior, when they yeah. see you're suffering unjustly, and everybody sees that you're suffering unjustly, then they're going to pull you aside and they're going to say, what are you doing?
Yeah, why?
Why are you doing this? Why? There's your chance, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. And so set Christ apart as Lord in your life, always being ready to make a defense for the hope that lies within you. That's mm-hmm. where it's headed. And that's and so, you know, you've got this husband who's a monster, disobedient to the word.
Right.
What are you called to do? Well, you're called to be, submissive, and that they may be won over without a word by the behavior of their wives as they observe your chaste and respectful behavior. So don't let your adornment be merely external. You know, back then it was braided mm-hmm. hair and wearing of gold jewelry or putting on dresses or whatever. But let it be in the hidden person of the heart, with the imperishable quality of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is precious in the sight of God. See, God mm-hmm. sees it. It's good and right in the mm-hmm. eyes of the Lord. For in this way, in former times, the holy women also who hoped in God, there's our mm-hmm. hope language again, mm-hmm. used to adorn themselves, being submissive to their own husbands. Thus, Sarah obeyed Abraham. One of the things that I see, and look, this always comes up in the husband-wife discussion, mm-hmm. Rightly so, but I never see it carry over into any of the other discussions where there is authority structure. To submit and to obey go hand in hand, mm-hmm. right? It's not submit in one, you know, on one hand and obey on the other, but they go hand in hand. Now, do you obey evil? Well, no, right? And we can think of, Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, mm-hmm. Abednego, mm-hmm. right? Bow down to this for what? Look, I don't care what you say. I'm not doing right. it.
Yeah.
I don't care if you're the king. Mm-hmm. I don't care who you are. And you can throw me into that fiery pit if you want to, but my God's able to do, and even if he doesn't, mm-hmm. I ain't bowing down, right? So we want to do what is right in the eyes of the Lord. And this gets into some tough spots because mm-hmm. on the one hand, you know, you're called to submit and obey. And on the other hand, obey an evil command may not work.
May not be the right.
And so how do you submit and obey the Lord and not obey a husband with a wicked or evil command? So this all isn't always clean, but mm-hmm. the point is still the same. And it ought to carry into all of our relationships that when we're under assigned, mm-hmm. there is a call to submission and obedience, right?
Well, it's pretty clean in the sense that you're going to suffer when you make that decision.
Oh, yes, absolutely.
So you know what's coming.
Yeah. So he covers the wives, then he turns mm-hmm. to husbands. Likewise, husbands, live with your wives in an understanding way as with a weaker vessel. Since she is a woman, and grant her honor as a fellow heir of grace, fellow heir of the grace of life, so that your prayers may not be hindered. Right? There's a lot there. Mm-hmm. The under-assigned one, if someone is under your care, mm-hmm. protection, provision, you know, that's the job of
that goes hand in hand with it.
That goes hand in hand. So it's not, you know, we mm-hmm. think of submission and obedience. The one in authority is to boss around and mm-hmm. tell them what to do. And No, that's not it. It's to bless. It's to bring blessing. It's at the sacrifice of the one in authority for the benefit of the other. And she is a fellow heir. And if you don't do this, your prayers will be hindered. Right. Mm-hmm. In other words, it's interesting. This in the Old Testament, you get this concept of the king of the Israel wants a king like the other nations. And the word king, Melech, is always goes with this Hebrew word all to king or to reign over. Mm-hmm. But Mashal, the story's looking for a Mashal, is to rule in the midst of, to be like God in the midst of, really is how I would translate that. And that's an important difference. You remember when Israel wants a king and Samuel says, you're going to get a king. Just like the nations, just like he asked for, they're going to he's going to subjugate your sons and daughters. They're going to build your houses, build your stuff. Your sons are going to serve him. He's not going to serve you, right? And it's exactly opposite. Christ serves the church. The husband is to serve, to lay down his life for the wife. And so there's a lot here. So it's a call to do what's good and right in the eyes of the Lord. And so he says in verse 8, so to sum it up, let us be harmonious, sympathetic, brotherly, kind-hearted, humble in spirit, not returning evil for evil or insult for insult, just as Christ didn't, but giving a blessing instead. And there it is. Mm-hmm. For you were called for this very purpose, that you might inherit a blessing. And so when you're persecuted, when you are afflicted, when you're ill-treated, and you ill-treat in return, there's no reward there. Right. That's not good in the eyes of the Lord. You're just suffering for doing evil, and you deserve it, right? Mm-hmm. But if you suffer for doing what it's right, in other words, you're persecuted, you're suffering unjustly, and you return a blessing and you patiently endure, you'll receive a blessing. That's the point, right? Mm-hmm. And so then he says, he quotes Psalm 34. There's pretty extensive, let him who means to love life and to see good days, refrain his tongue from evil and his lips from speaking guile, and let him turn away from evil and do good, and let him seek peace and pursue it. For the eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and his ears attend to their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. It's important to, when you read those verses, to remember the timing of it, right? Mm-hmm. He sees. The Lord sees. And he hears their prayers and he will reward. He will give a blessing. When? At the return of Christ. And so you endure. And so there's your hope. The reason for your hope, you're looking for this return of Christ. Because the Lord's face is against those who do evil. But we don't see that. We don't see that judgment happening right now. And so you're going to have to endure. You're going to have to suffer. You're going to have to endure harm. So he says in verse 13, and who is there to harm you if you prove zealous for what is good? Now, they can harm your body. They can even kill you.
Right.
But Christ is going to resurrect you, right? And so at the end of the day, and if you don't have this present suffering for future reward, if your hope is not a future resurrection, a future hope, and your hope is in present circumstance, present situation, you're never going to get this.
You're not making,
right? You're going to revert to the, I deserve life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. I deserve to be happy. God wants me to be happy. You're going to revert back to these, TV preachers who are going to tell you that, come to Jesus and you'll get everything you want. Mm-hmm. Come to Jesus and you'll get everything that you need now, and you'll get everything that you want later, resurrection, right? Verse 13, then who is there to prove, to harm you if you prove zealous for what is good? But even if you should suffer, and if you go down this trail, you probably will, for you were called for this purpose, since Christ also suffered for you. For the sake of righteousness, you're blessed. If you suffer for the sake of righteousness, if you suffer for doing what's right in the eyes of the Lord, you're blessed. Mm-hmm. And do not fear their intimidation and don't be troubled. Why? Because they have nothing to threaten you with.
Right.
Right?
Yeah.
We will kill you. Okay. Well, Christ will raise me. Mm-hmm. Right? But you better have your theology right. But set Christ apart as Lord in your hearts, always being ready to make a defense to everyone who asks you. Because when you're enduring suffering unjustly, everyone sees it. And they can't figure out why you're doing it.
Right.
He said, because I was called for this purpose, since Christ also suffered for me, leaving me an example to follow in his footsteps. And so this is what he did. This is what we're called mm-hmm. to do. And this is what I'm going to do. Mm-hmm. And they're going to look at you like you're from another planet, right?
And you are.
Yeah. And you're different
people.
They'll ask you. Give an account for the hope that is within you, because their hope is a present hope, a present day happiness. Mm-hmm. Not a present day suffering, a present day happiness, right? And so you've got this future hope and they can't figure it out. Yet with gentleness and reverence, and keep a good conscience so that the thing, in which you are slandered, those who revile your good behavior in Christ may be put to shame. Now, let's not forget, we've kind of generalized there a little bit and certainly it's warranted. But the antagonist here, the people that are giving these Jewish believers grief, are Jewish unbelievers. Mm-hmm. And they're persecuting them because they are believers and they're hanging out with Gentiles. And, mm-hmm. We talked about this back in chapter 2, keep your behavior excellent among the Gentiles so that in the thing that they slander you. See, it's these, yeah. It's not the Gentiles who are slandering you. Mm-hmm. It's these Jews who are saying you shouldn't be doing this, right? So keep a good conscience so that in the thing in which you are slandered, those who revile your good behavior in Christ may be put to shame. They see that you're operating as a kingdom of priests, a holy nation, taking the gospel to the Gentiles. This is what Peter is saying to them. And so here's the point, another verse that we probably ought to pay attention to. For it is better, if God should will it so, that you should suffer for doing what is right rather than for doing what is wrong. You better get your categories of right and wrong right. Correct.
Yeah, yeah.
Right? And here's why. Here's the reason. For Christ died for sins once for all, the just for the unjust, in order that he might bring us to God. See, Christ suffered for doing what is right, mm-hmm. following his steps. Same thing mm-hmm, back in chapter mm-hmm. 2. Having been put to death in the flesh, but made alive in the spirit, in whom he also went and made proclamation to the spirits now in prison. Now, this passage is pretty well debated, but let's not forget what's been said earlier in the chapter. This was back in chapter 1, verse 11, seeking to know. It was pick it up in verse 10. As to this salvation, the prophets prophesied of the grace would come to you, made careful searches and inquiries, seeking to know what person or time the Spirit of Christ within them was indicating as he predicted the sufferings of Christ and the glories to follow. In other words, the Spirit of Christ was working in the prophets of old as they proclaimed this deliverance.
Yes.
Like Noah.
Right.
You know, so Noah
mm-hmm.
would be
mm-hmm.
an example. So Christ suffered. But Christ was made alive in the spirit. He was put to death in the flesh, but made alive in the spirit. That same spirit, in whom he also went and made proclamation to the spirits now in prison through the prophets like Noah. So mm-hmm. Noah goes and proclaims, mm-hmm. That this Christ is coming, get on the boat, be
yep.
delivered.
Judges coming.
And they don't.
Mm-hmm.
And so they're now, those people who rejected, they're now not, they're in prison. They're mm-hmm. not, they're down there in Hades, and it's not going well for them. It's like in Luke chapter 16, the rich man who dies, and mm-hmm. he's in Hades, and he's saying, he's in prison. He's saying, there's a great chasm here. There's no escape
from
this thing. Who were once disobedient, when the patience of God kept waiting in the days of Noah during the construction of the ark, in which a few, that is eight persons, were brought safely through the water. And corresponding to the water,
mm-hmm.
Baptism now saves you. But not the water baptism that removes mm-hmm. the dirt. That's not the baptism that saves you.
It's
an appeal to God for a good conscience through the resurrection of Christ. It's the Spirit of Christ. You've been baptized in the Spirit as a believer. That was the promise of the new covenant. And so this Christ who is at the right hand of God, having gone into heaven after angels and authorities and powers have been subjected to him. But, so we say he's ascended to the right hand. He's making intercession, Psalm 110. Mm-hmm. The writer of Hebrews makes this point, but we don't see. You know, all things have been subjected to him, but we don't see it. Mm-hmm. And so wait, endure, hold on to the hope of the return of Christ. And so as we're finishing up chapter 3, you know, that's the appeal through this book. And it's the same appeal if you've been listening to us from book to book. Mm-hmm. It's the same thing over and over and over. All of these apostles and prophets are referring to the same story, the same sequence of events, the same things that have happened, are happening during their time and will happen in the future. Christ came, he suffered, he was raised, mm-hmm. he ascended to the right hand of the Father, he's making intercession. All things have been subjected under his feet, but we don't see it yet. Mm-hmm. And so we wait.
Yeah.
We endure, mm-hmm. endure suffering as he suffered, unjust suffering. Mm-hmm. If you enduring, suffering you deserve, that's not what we're talking about. It's suffering for doing what's right in the eyes of the Lord. Because wickedness and evil still running, running this world. So that's chapter 3,
yeah.
And that's the exhortation, and that'll lead us right into chapter 4 next time.
As we're moving into chapter 4, though, I think you can't divorce this fact of oftentimes it's not the outward struggle with others, it's the inward struggle of this conviction.
Oh, sure.
And so I think it's really what you're walking us through. The greater struggle is you embracing this conviction of truth.
Oh, yes.
And you own that, and you're brought to that place
that's
of conviction.
A good point. Yeah.
And so that it's very clear, very simple what he's saying here, but the struggle for us is coming to that conviction and embracing that conviction so that when I'm in the middle of that moment of being persecuted or even just some trivial difficulty with others, to be gentle and patient and approach them the right way.
As you're calling it conviction, this is a ship that has to have sailed before you come
before
to
the situation. Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah. And so if you don't have your theology right, mm-hmm. and if you don't recognize that you were called for this purpose, when you came to Christ, you didn't sign up for having your best life now. Mm-hmm. You didn't sign up for a better job, a better, whatever, all the stuff that the TV evangelist tells you you're going to get. What you signed up for is present suffering, future reward.
Yeah. And what you said in the middle of chapter 3, in the moment, suffering connected to the opportunity to share why.
Mm-hmm.
That conviction has to be set in place long before that moment, or you're going to blow the moment.
Absolutely.
So let's don't blow the moment.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. So if we said, well, why don't we see suffering in the church today? Because we don't choose.
We don't choose.
We have changed the gospel so that we think we don't have to suffer.
That's right.
And that's a shame.
Well, David, thank you for today. Looking forward to the next chapter, even though we do not like making the chapter breaks, but we're going to continue on. So thank you, David.
Thanks for listening to Teach Me the Bible podcast. Our desire is to use the power of God's word to change lives. For more information, download our app. Join us next week for another episode of Teach Me the Bible.